In the New Testament section of our church Bibles, page 119. 119. I'm going to read two of the gospel stories from this chapter. So I'll remind you to sit down after the first one, because with our poor old feet and legs, very often standing up is not conducive to listening. So we'll stand for the first story, and then I'll ask you to sit down. The Holy Gospel is written in the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning at the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, and she saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb, so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." And then Peter and the other disciples set out and went to the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb and saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their own homes. This is the gospel of Christ. Now will you sit down, please? And we continue reading at John 20, verse 11. And it's still on page 119. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, the other at the foot. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. And surely this too is the gospel of Christ. Memory plays funny tricks. And when I was contemplating these stories for this morning, as it were, almost one last look back at Easter, suddenly there came into my mind a hymn I learned when I was a child. I started off at what you would call a state school, and we called a national school. And the national school nearest us was a Church of Ireland day school. And we learned a hymn by heart every week. Yeah, some of you will remember those great days when education was largely based on memorization. And we learned a hymn by heart every week. And in the Church of Ireland hymn book, there was a lovely, lovely hymn in a section that was called Hymns Specially for Children. See the Good Shepherd, Jesus stands and calls his sheep by name. Gathers the feeble in his arms and feeds each tender lamb. And it went to a darling little tune, which I won't spoil by singing to you. But you're with me, isn't that beautiful? Jesus, the tender shepherd. Then there's verse 2, which I can't offhand remember, but verse 3 said, when wandering from the peaceful fold, we leave the narrow way. He says, it's very realistic. Jesus may be our shepherd, but we can still be straying sheep. When wandering from the peaceful fold, we leave the narrow way, the faithful shepherd still is there to guard us when we stray. And then there's the 1, 2, 3, then it's the fourth verse, and I can't remember that either. But the last verse said, thus may we safely onward go, because even with our waywardness, the faithful shepherd still is near. Thus may we safely onward go beneath our shepherd's care and keep the gate of heaven in view till we shall enter there. Well, now, I guess you're not surprised that I remember such a lovely hymn. And even as a child, it seemed to me, I wouldn't have used or known the word, it seemed to me a very potent, powerful, strong sort of hymn. And I wouldn't have known why. But the reason why is because it's so scriptural. It comes straight out of the Bible. The Bible is fairly insistent on thinking of God as a shepherd. Not just the great moments like the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 80, verse 1, hear, O thou shepherd of Israel. Psalm 77, the last verse, the Lord led his people like a flock. We can go all through the Bible and find this shepherd thought leaping up at us. Isaiah 40, he will feed his flock. This is the bit that got into the Messiah, Handel's Messiah. He will feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs in his arms and gently lead those that are with young. You see, this shepherd idea keeps popping up. Psalm 23 is like the pinnacle of an iceberg, but look at the great bulk that lies behind it underneath. When Ezekiel looked forward into the future, actually thinking of Jesus, of course, but looking forward, as he would have said, into the future coming great day when the Lord comes to his people. I will search for my sheep. I will feed them on a good pasture. I myself will be their shepherd. We can go all through the Bible. And then we come to the New Testament. And the Lord Jesus is depicted to us as the good shepherd. And the great shepherd. And the chief shepherd. There's a little task for you this afternoon. Now, my actual task for you this afternoon is, when you sit down after lunch, open your Bible and read the last two chapters of the Gospel of John, 20 and 21. But there's another task. Where in the Bible is he the good shepherd? Well, that's John chapter 10. And where is he the great shepherd? That's in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And where is he the chief shepherd? In the first Epistle of Peter. This shepherd idea seems to grip the minds of the Bible writers. And particularly, and then I forgot, of course, the one Ian read to us this morning. When we get to heaven, we will recognize Jesus as the Lamb of God. But when John saw this great Lamb of God, he discovered that the Lamb had turned into a shepherd. Now, when you come to think of it, who would make a better shepherd than a lamb? Because one who is both lamb and shepherd knows what it feels like to be a lamb and has all the caring skill of a shepherd. And that's what heaven will be like. The Lamb, says John, who is in the midst of the throne, right at the center of power, the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. He will guide them to fountains of waters of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The lamb become a shepherd. Now, each of the four Gospels has its own particular picture of the risen Lord. Matthew depicts him as the one to whom all authority is given in heaven and earth. And Luke depicts him as the one who teaches his people out of the Bible and makes the Bible clear to them. And Mark is the most hair-raising of all the Gospels. Jesus is the mighty risen Lord. Think of that. And John says, but he's still the good shepherd. Still the good shepherd in all his risen majesty. And we have these lovely six stories at the end of John, two stories about Mary Magdalene, two stories about Thomas, two stories about Peter. The risen Lord shepherding his people. Mary was in tears, and Jesus came to dry her tears away. It is so far, in a way, from Mark's mighty risen Lord, conqueror of death, so tender. Poor old Mary, her eyes were so full of tears that when she saw two angels, she didn't recognize them as angels. It was like having cataracts and seeing everything blurred. And when she turned round and saw Jesus, she thought he was the gardener. Why are you weeping? Mary, I have not yet ascended to my Father. Haven't you, Lord? What kept you? Wasn't that what you wanted after your work was done, to go back home to the Father? Why have you not yet ascended to the Father? Well, he doesn't say why, but we know why. He didn't immediately go back to the Father. If I could put it this way to you, he hung around because he knew Mary would need someone to dry her tears. That's the lamb becoming a shepherd. And Thomas, now, he's had a bad press, and we call him Doubting Thomas, but he didn't really doubt. He wasn't a man with doubts, he was a man with a problem. Now, please, in our own experience, don't confuse doubts with problems. We all have problems, but we approach our problems in a spirit of faith. So they're not doubts. No, doubt is quite a different thing. And Thomas wasn't really Doubting Thomas. He was Thomas with a problem. And his problem seems to be this, that he saw how the body of Jesus had been maltreated. He saw the wounds in his hands and in his side. And Thomas said to himself, a person wounded like that could not possibly be alive. He didn't doubt the resurrection, he just found it a colossal problem. And there's it's a lovely little thing. The disciples met with the Lord and Thomas wasn't with them. That's the first of the Thomas stories. And when they said to Thomas, "We've seen the Lord," he said, "Well, I can't really believe that. I'd have to see that it was really Jesus. I'd have to see and feel and touch those terrible wounds before I could even begin to think that it was really Jesus." And Jesus wasn't there. Yet, when a week later he did come, he said to Thomas, "Thomas, will this help you? Come and touch my hands. Come and feel my side. Will that help you?" He wasn't there, but he knew what had been said. There was a text card that used to hang on the walls of pious Victorian and Edwardian houses. "Christ is the head of this house." That's nice. "The unseen guest at every meal." That's okay. "The unseen listener at every conversation." Ho, ho, ho. And on the back it should have said, "So watch out." But the incident of Thomas teaches us that when he is the unseen listener to every conversation, it is not to collect evidence against us, but to discover where we're hurting in order that he may minister to us. "Will this help you, Thomas?" You see? Mary's tears, Thomas's problems. And Peter's failure, dear old Peter, "I will follow you wherever you go, even to death." "No, you're going to deny me 3 times. "Not I." But he did. 3 times. And in the second Peter story, Jesus took him walking along by the lake and said, "Now, Peter, do you love me?" Now, there are two verbs for loving in the New Testament, and they're both here. And I don't really know whether we're meant to draw a distinction between them or not, but it seems to me like this. "Peter, do you really love me? Do you love me like I love you?" "Well, Lord, I love you as best I can." "All right, feed my sheep." Peter, do you love me like I love you? Lord, I love you as best I can. Tend my lambs. Well then, Peter, do you love me as best you can? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you as best I can. Three denials, three affirmations. And the great failure, Peter, is lifted up out of the dust, dusted down, and set back on his feet. Now, isn't that shepherding care? So you see, we can slot ourselves into that situation. Whatever it is, see, the good shepherd, Jesus, stands and calls his sheep by name, gathers the feeble in his arms, and feeds each tender lamb. Thus may we safely onward go beneath the shepherd's care. The Lord is my shepherd. May we pray together.